Hello everybody, and I'm here with Owen, Fatima and Laura.
Hello.
And we are here today to discuss intellectual property. I often seek to explain intellectual property this way. So imagine a blank piece of paper and draw a line down the middle. On the left-hand side of that piece of paper, you're going to have registered rights. Mm-hmm. And on the right-hand side of that piece of paper, we're going to have unregistered rights. And we're going to write down on the each section of the paper what is a registered right, and on the right-hand side, what is an unregistered right. And then we'll figure out exactly what intellectual property is. So, Owen, registered rights, taking it from the top, name me a registered right.
Trademarks.
Fatima, name me a registered right.
Registered rights in trademarks.
Patents.
And registered designs. And unregistered? Laura.
An unregistered one would be copyright.
Perfect. And designs, and also something like confidentiality. So just to repeat, for registered rights, trademarks, patents, registered designs, unregistered, copyright, designs, and confidence. So you got 3 and 3 on each column. There are other things you can add to it, but generally, as a general rule, it's 3 and 3. And so taking, for example, the trademark. What are you doing when you get in a trademark, Fats?
So when you have a trademark and you're using it to basically sell some kind of goods or services, you're thinking, okay, it's quite lucrative to my business. I want to make sure nobody's able to use that without my authorization, because it becomes like an intangible asset. Mm-hmm. You look to register it. So if say, let's say you're selling goods in the UK, you may want to register it in the UK because trademarks are what? Territorial. Mm-hmm. So they will only be protected in the territory that they are registered, mm-hmm. subject to their use.
So in the UK, following on from that, Fats, you have, and if you're only selling in the UK, mm-hmm. you have to decide if you're doing goods or services,
yep.
and then you appropriate the appropriate classifications
yeah. okay.
to describe what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that everybody does has got a number which you can allocate to it. So then you draft up the specification and you file your trademark, and then you are the only person, if that becomes registered, to use that trademark. So you have a monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to that piece of paper and the blank piece of paper with a line down the middle, registered rights are very powerful because they allow you to have a monopoly in that brand. Nobody else can use it. Whereas in copyright, you don't have a monopoly. Because if they did have a monopoly in copyright, there'd only be one Starbucks, or there'd only be one Marks and Spencer's, for example. Because mm-hmm. it's just the way they look and the way they look and feel. Probably not a very good example of that one. But the trademarks and the registered rights are very important because you get the monopoly. You do not have proof that anyone's copied you. It's just a case of you've infringed my trademark. Whereas in copyright, you don't have a monopoly, and you have to prove that someone has copied you,
mm-hmm.
which can be difficult in itself, especially if there's no link between you and the
party. European Intellectual Property Office.
And that governs the trademark system on the continent.
Yes.
So that used to be the 28 member states. We came out,
yeah.
and there's 27 now.
Yes.
Okay.
So then you also have the Madrid system, which covers over 100 countries internationally,
yeah,
and then there are the countries that have their own system.
So you have to file
that them. You have to file through them.
Okay, okay. And so there's merit in. So if I want to do a large portfolio, create a large portfolio, it's worthwhile using WIPO, I presume.
As long
WIPO is one again,
the World Intellectual Property Office.
Okay.
But it is as long as you...
In Geneva.
Madrid, isn't it?
I'm going to say I've got an office in both.
Okay. But the key thing is using the trademark in the time.
In what time?
Oh, within the first 5 years of use, because you don't want it to be invalidated.
Well, presumably most people who are filing a trademark have an idea that they're going to use it pretty much. Mm-hmm. What's the point?
Think.
I mean, many people do file the trademark and then don't bother using it.
Yes.
So, Would you say that having a filed trademark is more of something to kind of cover your back and protect you, and it's only used when you when someone were to potentially infringe on your trademark?
It's not it's our blood and butter, isn't it? But I still think it's the most important thing any business should do.
Yeah, it's a signpost to say the goods and services are from here. And depending on how, I'm sure everybody thinks their quality of the good services are amazing. So, you know, you want to make sure people can find you.
But it's the only aspect of law, I think, that can actually put a nail in the coffin of a business that quick.
Yes.
In the absence of a trademark.
Yes.
So if you trade, or you commence trading, and then you don't have a trademark, or you think you should have a trademark, and then you find out that you can't have a trademark because someone came before you, they can potentially put you out of business.
Yes.
Equally, you can put that person out of business.
Yes.
And it happened to me many, many years ago, nearly 30 years ago, before I launched Laudit, a very, very famous, well-known accountants firm launched Laudit. And if I didn't have the trademark, I would have been prevented from doing my life's dream.
Wow.
And luckily, I got the trademark when I was working for another company 12 months beforehand. And I wrote to them a little piece of paper and said, "Look what I've got." And they kindly said they were 6 months off and they're not going to do it. So that was good because they were huge and they could have swatted me away. So it's so important. And like I said, I know it's my bread and butter, but I never felt more strongly about anything else. You can be prevented from trading if you don't have a trademark. So get one. I think that's very good advice. In relation to the other two aspects, registered designs. Who's been doing some of them recently? We've all done a few, haven't we?
Yes.
Who wants that one? Mr. Owen! Ah, I love your enthusiasm.
I know, so exciting. So people create a design and they want registered protection for that design. So then they will file it with the Intellectual Property Office and say, "I have this design, I created this design."
Yep.
And then it's similar to trademarks and the nail in the coffin.
So what are you getting as a protection though for registered design?
You get protection of the elements of that design that make it unique.
What it looks like?
Yeah.
In essence?
Essentially.
Okay.
So if anyone's listening to this, it's a good idea to look at the Apple and Samsung case in verse from the Intellectual Property Enterprise Court. There's a good summary of registered design and the appeal case on that, which is worth reading, and it explains very well what a registered design is. And finally, a patent is the invention, 20 years of life, and also that's worth considering if you have some form of technology or an invention in mind.
Which has to be, have an innovative step to it.
Has to be new.
Yes.
Yeah, not commonplace.
Yeah, which is quite tricky because difficult to come up with anything new and innovative.
Yes.
Okay. Fabulous. Well, thank you. And we'll post this and we'll also show you a picture of us four with also Athena the dog. And thank you for listening and thank you guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.